This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
The Offspring, with special guests Jimmy Eat World and Newfound Glory, bringing their supercharged tour to I Think Financial Amphitheater in July. We've got a pair of tickets to give away every day this week. It's a Live Nation show, and I may give them away this segment if I can recall at the end of the segment. Chris Whittingham will join us this hour. I want to talk to him about my experience at the Premier League game. I'm obviously delighted that I got to experience something that he talks about, you know, and does a lot of games, soccer games, but it was certainly a great experience. I want to talk to him about that and other stuff as well. Do cat talk real quick here before we get to headlines here for the 3 o'clock hour. Solana. Cat talk.
Cat
when
talk.
Does Jimmy get back, by the way?
I don't know if he does get back.
Jimmy's just done. He moved to Disney World.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
All right.
He's going to be a minion.
We've got Steven filling in for him the last couple of days. What's Steven's last name? I don't even know.
No idea.
It's Gonzalez.
Steven Gonzalez.
Yes, sir.
That was going to be one of my top three guesses.
Very common one. Lopez, Rodriguez, Gonzalez.
Steven
found my go-to when you asked me baseball players' last names.
Steven, oh, I mean, this guy, Steven, fancies himself a baseball player, by the way. But he found out yesterday he's having a boy. He's having a son.
Yes,
he found
sir.
Out yesterday.
Ah, how cool, man.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Exciting.
Thank you.
First kid?
Yes, yes.
Wow. That is the best, man. I don't know how you do it. And your daughter's young, but she's getting older. I don't know how people have daughters. It is such an easier, I think, existence as a father to have a son. I only have one son. I don't know how guys have daughters. It seems like I don't think I would be able to concentrate on anything other than I think my existence would be totally different with a girl.
Huck, I don't know. I don't know how Steven feels, but Huck, I was the same way my whole life growing up. You know, I wanted 10 kids, but I wanted 10 boys because, to your point, I know how to raise a man. When I had Ava, it was – Hope, Chan's not outside the door right now. it's so much better. They're loving and caring, and they really, like, she'll come and check on me. Chan doesn't give a damn what I do on a daily basis. But the girls really love you, man. Like, it's
that's
tough.
True.
And she's now she's 12, so now I think but I'm
aren't
getting
you
into
worried
that realm
about
of,
because I know how guys think, because I'm a guy. That's the part where I go, it's just so much easier to have a boy.
Yes.
I feel
but
like I dodged
a
bullet.
I am worried now.
Totally dodged a bullet.
But it is their love and their demeanor for their father is all worth the headache that I'm about to have for the next 10 years as she gets into dating ages. I really feel
that makes
that
sense
way.
Because, like, I was just talking to Lori during the commercial break. She's still really sick from our trip home. I'm on the mend. And she said, yeah, I just texted David, our son. I just texted David, tell him I'm sick. He wrote, oh.
It's crazy. It's but I can't. I've come back late for a couple of segments. The kids are on spring break, so Ava and Channing are here all day long. Like, Ava asked me, oh, Daddy, oh, she woke me up. Like, I was laying on the couch. I really wasn't sleep. I was laying on the couch, like, watching TV. She's like, Daddy, it's 1:45. You go to work in 15 minutes. Chan has no concern for anything
right.
of my day at all. Like, to
there's
your
something
point,
liberating
oh,
about yeah. it, too. But, yeah, that's definitely the experience yeah. having a boy is like, yeah, hey, you're on your own.
I said it this morning. I got up like, hey, Chan, what are we doing today? We want to work out. You know, I worked the hell out of my kids. Afterwards, I was like, what you want to do? Take me to get some bait. Like, what? I need bait. I need some shiners. I want to go fishing. Like, it's always just something that they want to do. It's not like, hey, if I ask Ava what she wants to do, she would literally say, let's go have ice cream so we could spend time together. Chan will say, take me to get some bait so I yeah. can fish. It's just,
yeah,
it's,
that's
it's
about in, the...
men are we're impersonable.
We're just different. We're different.
Yeah, yeah. But I love having a daughter, man. I never thought I would, but I love having a daughter.
Well, that's very exciting, Stephen. Congratulations, Stephen,
thank you.
Filling in for us until Jimmy decides to show back up, I guess. Or maybe Jimmy gets Wally Pipped here. And speaking of baseball, by the way, remember Appel was on yesterday, gave a nice soliloquy about Connor Norby mm-hmm. from the Marlins, talked about him being the pillar of a Major League Baseball organization. He's out for at least 4 weeks to start the season.
He's an injured pillar.
All right. Did you do Cat Talk?
It's sponsored by Hollywood Kia. I did not. Get the star treatment at Hollywood Kia, the number one Kia dealer in all of Florida. We want to see you in a Hollywood Kia and shop online at HollywoodKia.com. The Cats continue their homestand. They don't play again until Friday, so they have plenty of days to rest up. They get the Utah Hockey Club, then the Canadiens or the Habs before heading back out to Montreal to play the Canadiens. So it's a home and home Sunday and Tuesday.
All right. Very good. You want to do headlines here real quick, Solana? And then we'll get to Whittingham this hour. Headlines are brought to you by Doral Kia. Choose from over 500 new Kia models in inventory, like the Sportage, Sorento, and Telluride. And remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia.
I didn't mention yesterday, and I should have. Rest in peace to George Foreman, who passed away over the weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, truly, obviously in boxing, but one of the greatest personalities to yes. ever come out of sport.
Yeah. Yeah. To have him, like him and Ali, to have those two people at the top of their game at the same time, personality wise and performance wise, that was wild.
I was reading. He sold.
By the way, still 5.5-point underdogs tonight, hosting Golden State.
Do you remember that, Solana? Are you too young? Like the Foreman Ali time?
No, not at all, man. Not at all.
I don't think I even remember that, do I? I mean, I had to be like 6, 7, 8 years old.
I thought Muhammad Ali just boxed in the 60s and 70s.
But their personas and personalities and, you know, their battles and all that stuff.
Well, like, yeah, and boxing was, the heavyweight division when I was a kid, that was the money division.
Yeah. Oh, now no heavyweights anymore. That big goofy guy from Alabama, I don't even know his name.
Oh, speaking of big goofy guys, I was Jelly Roll. That dropped today on the Pivot.
Yeah, Go watch it. He's a different human being.
He lose a lot of weight.
He revealed it on the show. He's over 200 pounds down.
Wow. Wow.
He lost a human being, and he said he can lose, and he wants to lose another 200, but he was over 600 at his peak. Do you call that a peak?
Sure. I mean, we all have our, you know, for me, that's peak. You know what my ultimate goal is? To be immobile.
But he was,
have someone clean under my flaps.
At his worst or peak, he was over 600 pounds. And he's not a tall dude. Like, he's 5'9", 5'8", 600 pounds. Mm. He has a stupid house in Franklin, Nashville, somewhere around Nashville, Tennessee. I'm wondering, you know, I talk about Joey Porter's house out in California. I've been to some nice houses. Jelly Roll's top three house I've ever walked into in my life.
That's like, well, that's got to be such a pleasure, right? If you've got some money and you want to live in Franklin, Tennessee, because most people, you have money, you want to live in Boca Raton, you want to live in Miami, you want to live in L.A. Franklin, Tennessee, you're gonna get good bang for the buck.
Bang for the buck. I don't know how much the house costs. Had to be 30,000 square feet. Ooh. Big pool, had horses and donkeys and cows outside. There was probably 25 people living in the house, and you didn't see, you saw them sprinkled out because the house is so damn big. Like, I saw a country, or is he a country star now? I guess he made most of money off country music, but I saw what it was. Five or six just big ass pickup trucks lined up next to each other in the driveway. It was pretty cool to see, but he's cool. Watch it. Like, it's a good show, and he's a very down to earth dude.
Has he made that much money already? I'm not.
That's the shocking thing. I was thinking the same thing, Solana. Like, to go from 0 to 100 that quickly, but that's why I think, because it's in Franklin, Tennessee, that you can be more extravagant there than you could in the Hollywood Hills.
For sure, but I'm this is not an indictment on Jelly Roll. Dude is huge right now. Like, he's as hot as anybody. Bro, 2 years ago, we had never heard of him. And I know we don't really listen to country music, but to make real money in music, you have to go on tours, like worldwide tours. That's how you make money, not by making number one hits anymore. Has he, like, he's cashed in that much?
He's on a tour now. I'm looking up. I looked up net worth. I see 18 million. I see 12 million. I see 20 million. But to Hawk's point, that house in Miami might have been $15 million. That house in Franklin, Tennessee could have been $3 million.
I'm not kidding you. Like, that kind of disparity. So if you're like a country bumpkin and you got a little bit of money, you can live like a king.
I had a cow named Crunchy pushing me with his horns because he thought I had some food in my pocket.
Mm, did you?
And Jelly Roll really enjoyed Crunchy and me fighting.
What did you have in your pocket there?
Don't worry about it.
You guys should have Dave Blunt on the podcast.
Oh, Crunchy.
Dave Blunt's trying to get down to 600.
It's $150 an ounce, Crunchy. You can't have this.
Dave Blunt's, you better hurry up and book him. That's all I'll say.
he got a short window.
Yeah. Hey, some more bad news. Crowder, you saw your girl Juju Watkins is out. She tore ACL. Yeah, man. It's tough.
I was watching the game last night with my kid because Ava plays basketball. And as soon as she stepped and that girl hit her hip and her knee turned, I said she tore something.
Yeah.
And it came out this morning.
Yeah, that stunk.
Man. Boom. And she was on every commercial during the break after she tore her knee up. I hate it.
Yeah. So the Marlins are going to play the Pirates Thursday, 4:10 p.m., and obviously the Heat tonight. Duncan is still questionable. Steph Curry, still questionable. Here is the update on where the Heat stand in the Eastern Conference standings. The Bulls beat the Nuggets last night. So that means they've won three straight, by the way. That means the Heat are a game and a half back of Chicago, but Chicago owns the tiebreaker over Miami. They do play once more this season. So technically the Heat are 2.5 games back of the Chicago Bulls for the 9 seed. If the Heat end up with the 10 seed, they have to win 2 road games to be a playoff team.
But even if they end up what? Like, what? I mean.
Well, if they're the 9 seed, they have to win a home game and then a road game.
Right, but.
Well, what, Hawk? I stated a fact.
I'm just saying, do we really care? Because they're not getting out of the first round. Like, what are we doing here?
You don't know that.
You never know.
All right.
They weren't getting out of the first round in 2023 either, Hawk.
Well, okay. All right, that's fair.
No, I mean, we're talking about the 1-0 in their last one Miami Heat team that are on a win streak right now.
That's fair. That's real news. I can't argue that.
Your weather from the DeMesman and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7. Partly cloudy and very rainy in Miami right now. So if you're headed out to the Heat game later, the roads will be wet. So drive safely.
All right. Chris Whittingham will join us in the next segment. I can talk about my travels to London, which you know is Whitty's wheelhouse. Talk a little soccer with him. We can ask him about Jimmy Butler's return as well. So we'll take a quick break. And Chris Whittingham in the next segment.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show. Hawk and Crowder.
Chris Whitting.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Whittingham is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline, soccer broadcaster, longtime friend of ours, soccer broadcaster for CBS and MLS season pass on Apple TV, joins us on Tuesdays to talk sport. We have some delightful banter about footy and sport and the sort. Inter Miami is home this weekend with the Philadelphia Union. You can catch the game on MLS season pass on Apple TV Saturday at 7:30. Whitty, I'm going to start here, and Crowder and Solana got the full on treatment yesterday when it was my first show back from London. But you have had a years long love affair with the UK, specifically England. And I can now say it has not been unwarranted. I understand it now. I fully understand it. It is a brilliant country with brilliant traditions. There is not enough time in the day to eat all the delicious chippies and toasties and mushy peas and streaky bacon. And you and I must get together soon for a tipple and talk about brilliant London.
Love a tipple.
England. And all she has to offer. God save the king, Whitty. I honestly was surprised at how much I loved London. This was kind of a throwaway trip for us. We've traveled to a number of places, my wife and I, and I've never had a burning desire to go to London. And we went because, you know, our friend Jim runs AFC Bournemouth. And so I thought it'd be cool. We'll get to go see a match before they go on break. I had no idea how great that city was. So I salute you for acknowledging that many, many years ago.
and to the annoyance of others. How you doing, mate? You're right.
You had a great time over in England,
did you?
In Boca Raton, I'm going to have a little pop of a ginger ale. Nothing like an
absolutely
ale.
Fantastic. I mean, what time must have been to have gone to London, watched the football, taking a bit of culture, you know what I mean? The changing of the guard. Absolutely fantastic.
A little bit of
spot of tea, a bit of a chippy, you know?
Vitality Stadium. Who's got a better British accent, Crowder, me or Whitty?
Whitty got you by miles.
Oh, I beg to differ. You're out of line, Governor.
Yeah, no, for me, it kind of started with watching the Premier League, and then you sort of like it grows and grows from just watching soccer to listening to podcasts, and then you're like, wait a second, what's that word that they use for that? And then you just go down all these different rabbit holes. And yeah, for me, I've annoyed people with my love of British culture for probably more than a decade now. And you just can't help it. I've been to London probably 4 or 5 times. And every time I go, it is just the best. And even like a lot of the conversations about the food, you actually like traditional English food, which most people don't. But because of the multicultural nature of the country, you can go and have like some of the best Indian food you've ever had in your life, some of the best Chinese food you've ever had in your life. The breadth of food there for me is amazing.
Yeah, it really is.
I just quickly.
Yeah, go ahead.
I know, Hawk. Yeah, I'm going to let you get into it, Hawk, because y'all two London lovers, whatever it is. Do I have to say Premier or can I say Premier? Like,
well, it's Premier.
It's Premier League.
You got it wrong.
No,
both
it's Premier
times.
League.
Premier. No, Premier.
Well, and also, Premier. Like, for example, if a movie, you would say a movie premieres, you would say we're going to a movie premiere. So it is merely the distinction in how the word is said. They will say it a movie premiere or the Premier League, and we will say movie premiere. Look,
everything there they say, like, they go to see the cinema. They don't go to a theater.
Right. Yeah, they go to the cinema. Yeah,
I mean, it's delightful there.
Why
I mean,
do you
so wrong
why do you throw away the theater like it's nasty? Theater is not a bad word. Premiere is not
the way
a bad
you sound.
Word.
Theater. Throw away the
well,
theater.
The theater is like for Broadway shows.
Correct, for a live show.
For Broadway for live performances, and then the cinema.
Hawk was at 8 days with him. Now he's criticizing me for how I thought.
And all you Americans.
By the way,
if we had this conversation nine days ago,
he would have been ripping me for saying any of it.
It's a boorish behavior from most of these Americans, and it's appalling, to be quite honest.
It's absolutely appalling.
But no, I did. So I went to a Premier League match, Bournemouth and Brentford. Unfortunately, Bournemouth came out on the wrong side. But Crowder, a gift for you from AFC Bournemouth.
Wow, for Crowder. Hey.
So this is a shirt that was designed by Michael B. Jordan. He's one of the co-owners of AFC Bournemouth. He's one of the owners. And so he did his own design. And then I had texted with Solana from the gift shop there. I don't think it's called a gift shop, merchandise. And he wanted a retro. He wanted a throwback jersey. I don't know if you can see that there on the camera. But that is a throwback AFC Bournemouth kit. Is that what they call that? A kit?
Yes, they did.
So up the cherries to all of you. I had a fantastic time. Crowder, you've never been to a Premier League game. And I know Solana, that's on your bucket list, right? That is like, that's because you've been to a bunch of international games, but you've never been to Premier League.
Never been to a Premier League game. And I am dying to go to the Vitality Stadium. So I'm extremely jealous that you were there.
That was a treat because everything you see on TV, you know, you see these massive stadiums and Vitality holds 11,000, 12,000.
Yeah, it's probably the smallest ground for a major team anywhere in Europe, honestly. It is absolutely tiny. I'll just be curious because you have always been a little bit of a soccer skeptic. You like to make fun of me for my love of soccer. What is the difference between seeing it in person versus you've gotten into the Bournemouth thing a little bit. So you watched a few games on TV in the last few years, more than you would have done. What's the difference between seeing it in person as opposed to seeing it on TV?
You know what I found the most startling thing? How physical it was. Because on TV, I didn't grasp just how much they are clawing on each other and pulling on each other and tangling with each other. And I remarked to my wife as we were watching it, I'm like, holy mackerel, like this is as physical a sport as way more physical than I had imagined. So that's probably what struck me the most. I didn't realize that because in my head, you know, you hear about flopping all the time and I'm watching it. I'm like, oh, there's a lot of physicality going on here. Like guys are on the ground for a reason much of the time.
When you get kicks, you're getting kicked. Like that is not a soft thing. And I 100% agree with you. For me, the thing that stood, I remember the first time I went to a Premier League game, it was at Fulham. This was probably 6 or 7 years ago. And we sat right behind the goal. It was like five rows right behind the goal, which is not honestly the best spot to take in a game, but it is the best spot to see like the speed at which everything happens. Particularly, you see like those balls that go towards like the back, like a cross comes in, someone's trying to go and score it, and they don't stretch and get to it just in time. You're like, oh, come on, that looks so easy. And then you get there in person and you see the speed at which that ball is hit, just flying, zipping across that box. And you're like, wait a second, people are supposed to try and hit that to have it go in the back of the net. The speed for me is what always stands out.
Well, what I'll tell you is it's worth going at some point in your life, Crowder and Solana, and anyone who's a fan of sport, like it's worth going to a Premier League match just because the pomp and circumstance that takes place from, you know, the moment that people are getting to the stadium to the moment
to the ground, to the ground.
It was the ground.
No,
it was remarkable.
As Witty talked about behind the net, I don't know if y'all remember when I was in Barcelona. I don't know what team it was, but it's in the middle of the city. And I text you and I was like, hey, I'm about to go watch this soccer game. And you text me back, don't sit behind the net. And I didn't know what that meant. And then they're back there burning crap outside the stadium.
Yeah.
They were burning bonfire. I don't know if that's Premier League or whatever y'all are talking about.
I think you're going to a Champions League game, if I remember correctly. Yeah, it was Barcelona. I want to say against Dortmund, maybe.
He went to a Champions League game. Yeah.
Yeah.
A Champions League game. And you told me, do not sit behind the net. And when I was up in my little, you know, my little preppy area, I saw the people over there fighting and slapping each other and burning stuff and passing around flags. So I need to go to a Premier League. I went to a Champions League.
Which is might honestly even be a bigger level. Premier League is one, but Champions League are the best teams in all of Europe. So I mean you kind of as an entry point, we're pretty high up there, Crowder, in terms of going to see the very best level of football that there is to be offered in the world.
Okay, because they had a bonfire pregame. I was thrown off. I was like, what?
All the flares going off. The flare smell is really intense. Really intense. You're like, you're in it. My favorite thing about going to the football is that little bit of danger. Is that a little bit of things about to
well,
kick
funny,
off?
Like
here?
If you go to the heat game tonight, they blow off those flames during the introductions. The Champions League, it's just in the stands with you, and there's no regulated person who's firing it off.
I think it's a little different, Hawk.
I'm pretty sure that they're just firing
someone,
those things
someone
off.
Someone lighting a flare is a little bit different than
firecrackers.
No, it's a little different.
Go to a South American game and you're just watching the game in a bonfire. Like your seat is actually in a bonfire.
The worst of that is probably in Turkey for what they call the Istanbul derbies. I think they're called the Eternal Derbies. The teams within Istanbul and Turkey are absolutely ravenous in terms of support. You will literally see an entire section of the stadium engulfed in flames. It looks like it's on fire.
Oh, we got to go to that as a show. You know, wait till Jimmy gets back, though. For those of you who are Bournemouth fans, if you want to adopt Bournemouth and become a Bournemouth supporter like us, they're touring the U.S. this summer, right? There's three matches.
Yeah, they're going to play three matches in different stadiums around the United States. I think they're touring.
It's part of that like summer series that they're doing, right?
There's four Premier League teams, right, that are going to tour the U.S.? Yeah. I should have more info on it. But I know Bournemouth is coming to the U.S.
Playing,
this summer.
They're playing Everton, Manchester United, and I think West Ham, maybe? Does that sound right?
Yes. I have it right here. Yeah.
That's
Atlanta, New Jersey, and Chicago, it seems like.
Yeah, and I don't know if you get the full Premier League effect if you watch it in the States, but I'm imagining these games, these matches are going to be sold out, right? I mean, there's going to be hefty interest in this in the U.S., no?
Yeah, I mean, the summer friendlies always do incredibly well because realistically, it is kind of your only chance to go and see your team. They come a lot. I remember last year, Manchester United, they've started to mix it up a little bit. They would always go to the same New York, L.A., Miami, Atlanta, all the big cities. But last year, I think Man United played a game at the University of South Carolina Stadium. And they sold it out. It was like 95,000 people. What is it, like Williams Bryce or Jordan Bryce? They're like they completely filled it So they try and do some interesting things to mix it up. But yeah, I mean, particularly when Man United is involved and these big clubs are involved, it's not the same, because I think a lot of Americans are aware of sort of British fan traditions, but it is so different, right? They're almost like that different level of participation. I think American fans, when they go to sporting events, they sort of expect to be entertained, whereas I think British and European fans and South American fans are realize that they're part of the entertainment. And so if there is to be an atmosphere at the game, I have to stand up and sing. I have to stand up and chant when everyone else is chanting. And I think that that culture is just that little bit different. So that, I mean, for a Premier League game, it is completely different.
You want to know what jumped out at me being at a Premier League game? There was no everybody clap your hands.
No,
now,
there was none of, there's
none
of it.
That. I need to know, right? Oh, I need to know. They seem to all know when to clap their hands and when to chant. I prefer, you know, someone to let me know, hey, everybody clap your hands. And then I'm able to clap my hands. I like when they let you know when it's time to clap your hands.
You're waiting for a Let's Go Cherries chant from their Uptown Dale?
Yes. So when is the Tyler Adams song? Does anyone have some sort of song? Like, is there a song sheet? I don't know. I was a little...
I mean, people just start singing. The funniest thing is when songs develop and everyone just kind of gets it. Like, there is this telepathy that happens where everyone just sort of... okay, we're all singing the words of this song, and everyone's kind of doing that same thing. It's absolutely amazing. But yeah, there are no cues. There's very little halftime, pregame, postgame entertainment. It's just, here's the game. Here's some songs before. Here's
very
some songs
little,
after.
Like,
and that's it.
None.
There's very little presentation.
To American sport, like,
it's nothing.
Nothing. Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah. I didn't. There was
some,
no.
Some 12-year-olds will come play a little seven-a-side game at halftime, or they'll take a penalty shootout against the mascot, and that's about it.
Who's the lady that that juggles the cups on her head?
Oh, Red Panda.
Game?
Pink
yeah,
Panda?
Yeah, they don't wheel her out at no. halftime here. Just no. to go get a meat pie and get back in your seat, because they're not adding a single minute to that halftime.
It's also the brilliance of it, right? Because it's like there's 45 minutes of football, then there's a 13-minute break, and there's 45 minutes of football, and then we're done. There's none of this whole commercial breaks. There's no halftime T-shirt cannon. No, it's just here's the game. That's it.
I told you, I think I told you yesterday. So, Jim, our friend, had the brilliant idea to sit me next to the chairwoman of the Premier League in the director's box. And I said to her, I'd like to make a suggestion. How about add a minute or two to halftime? Because we're really rushing through these meat pies, because we went inside and she was with me at my table, and they bring out the meat pies and some hot drinks and some cheese. And I said to her, how about we add a few minutes to this? Because it seems like we're rushing to get right back out there. Absolutely not. And I said, okay, well, we'll revisit that after the game, because maybe you'll have a different thought.
Next thing you know, you'd be asking for quarter breaks instead of halftime breaks. And you've completely this is why Americans are not welcome into football, because we come with our ideas of how we're going to fix everything.
Very different. We're out of time with Whittingham, but we should ask what's wrong with the U.S. men's national team.
They've regressed. And it's kind of odd, because at the World Cup in 2022, there weren't a ton of expectations because it was a young team. A lot of guys that were kind of 24 and younger, and there was this thought that they're all playing in Europe. They're all going to kick on and have great careers from there and be a team that was going to continue to grow. But instead, they've gone the other way. They went out of Copa America last summer to Panama in the group stage. They didn't have a chance to go. Because really, the big thing for American fans is, well, can we go and beat the big teams? If we play against Brazil or Argentina or France or Spain or whoever – if the World Cup is on home soil, maybe there's a chance you can go and beat them. But instead, you're losing to the teams that used to kind of take for granted. The U.S. used to beat Panama easily. And instead, they lost to them last summer in the Copa America, and then they just played the CONCACAF Nations League. They lost both in the semifinal to Panama again, and then in the third place match on Sunday against Canada. And there's just thinking, how has it gone from there's this golden generation of talented players that are playing in Europe at a level that is above what previous generations of players have done, and yet they're not performing as well for the national team. And now all of a sudden, I think a lot of the older generation of players are rightly so saying, hey, we were pretty good in our own right. In 2002, when the U.S. went to the quarterfinal of the World Cup, they were a pretty good team, and that team should be respected. The 94 team that played the first home World Cup that got to the round of 16 should be respected. The 2010 team that I thought was very good that got to the last 16 of the World Cup. And now I think all of a sudden you're kind of comparing yourself to older generations rather than to how are we getting better? How are we kicking on? Because that's not happening right now.
I think it's something that a lot of teams around the world are facing a similar issue in the U.S. now are just because their players are playing in Europe expect to be better. There's something to be said about an actual team in the World Cup or in these major tournaments clicking together. I don't know, like, is Pochettino on the hot seat now, or is it still too early?
I think it's one of those things where, because of the manager's status, that he was managing Chelsea before he managed the United States, he was managing PSG and Tottenham and Southampton and Espanyol. These are big European clubs. He can go and have probably one of those jobs this summer. Anytime one of those jobs comes available, there already is conversation go and leave that. I think in some ways, not to kind of talk down the role of U.S. manager, but he's doing the U.S. a favor, honestly. Like he should be managing at the very highest levels of the club game. This is a top-level coach. So I think the U.S. should be inclined to listen to him rather than to say, well, maybe what you're doing is wrong. So I think you have to go through the development process with him as the coach and hope that in 14 months' time, when the U.S. are hosting their first game of the World Cup in L.A. against whomever it might be, that he has kicked the team on and gotten them to a better place. But there are a lot of things to be solved in the interim.
Sack him.
Sacked in the morning. Sing it with me. You're getting sacked in the morning. You're getting sacked in the morning.
I don't know about that.
Chris Whittingham, soccer broadcaster for CBS and MLS season pass on Apple TV. Inter Miami is home this weekend. Philadelphia Union, you can watch the game on MLS season pass on Apple TV starting at 7:30 p.m. Saturday. Thank you, Witty.
No problem.
We'll talk some actual soccer and footy, and we'll find out who's better next week with Witty, Maradona or Messi. We'll reestablish
y'all
that.
Y'all were talking all that foolishness.
We'll
I couldn't even ask my question.
But I just wanted to talk about my time in London with him. All right, we got to take a break. We'll come back.
Unfortunately, this is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
He
Hawk and Crowder.